architecture. We've had a lot of questions lately about architecture. There is just so many things that just do not add up in history, in the narrative that we've been taught. You have logged into Tin Hat Talks, Question the Narrative with Donita and Shelley. I'm Donita. I'm a fifth generation Oklahoma panhandle homesteader, homeschool mom of six, author, award-winning journalist, connecting the past with the future to help you weather the dust storms of life. And this is Shelley.
Hi, I'm Shelley. I'm a homeschooling mom of 11. We've been homeschooling for 15 years now. And that is actually how I started my voyage down the rabbit hole, so to speak. I also have a YouTube channel and it's called There's No Place Like Home. And I'm so happy to be here.
Awesome. I'm so happy to have you on as co-host, and I've been really looking forward to this. I've been giving a lot of teasers lately in the last several episodes to people. So I'm sure that they're going to be glad to finally meet you.
Sorry. You know life, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you're expecting your first grandchild.
Woo-hoo, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm expecting my third grandchild now. So it's been, yeah, life's definitely been happening lately, hasn't it?
Yes. In a good way. In a good way.
Yes. In a very good way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Architecture is just one of those things that is just a little crazy whenever we go back and we think about what we were taught in the schools here in America, and what the architecture. I know some of the, you know, Pinterest has really opened my eyes on things, not to mention some of the videos and things that I've seen, but the internet has just really opened a whole world to me. I've never been overseas, and I had no idea that the temples of ancient Greece and Rome were so huge. I mean, they are huge. I think that's
I've never been there either.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest things that has just really the stuff down in South America. You know, Machu Picchu and Sacsayhuaman, and I'm probably saying those wrong. Those didn't surprise me as much. They fascinate me, but for some reason, those didn't surprise me as much. And those are amazing structures as well.
Yeah.
Another.
I remember. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine.
I was just going to say that I remember one of the architecture styles that really gets me is what they call the Gilded Age. And even before, you know, I started going down this path, I remember seeing old photos and just not only the buildings themselves, but how the people were dressed and how they carried themselves and the horses and buggies. And I remember thinking to myself, something doesn't sit right with me about all of this. And that was really what started me to actually want to actually look into architecture around the world, because we're not given the full story about anything.
No. Yeah. You see these pictures of these women in these white dresses. It seems like it's always they're in white dresses and the men in the suits, and they're on these muddy, dirty streets with, like you said, the horse and buggy stuff. There are already what looks like electric lines on poles and stuff. And there's this amazing architecture. It's like the detail at the tops of the buildings. It's more detailed than the bottom of the building where the people are. And it's like, why? Why would you have these gargoyles and this, you know, I mean, you can't even call it gingerbread trim. You know, I don't even know what you call those architectural details, but statues. And I mean, some of it is amazing detail. And yeah, it's just craziness. And then some of the stories that they try to theorize on how the pyramids were made. And I knew there were pyramids in Mexico, but I had no idea how many there were. And then realizing that there are actually pyramids here in the United States. And we're in Oklahoma, you're in Pennsylvania. Here in Oklahoma, just a little over an hour from us is the what's called Gloss Mountains. And they're not mountains, but it looks like on each side of the highway, whenever we go through there, there look like sphinxes cut into, you know, and it's like, now that I'm realizing some of the things, like, especially after watching some of John Levi's videos on YouTube, I look at those with a completely different light now. And it's like, you know, we'll be driving by and the children are like, Mom, that one looks like a pyramid. That is definitely a sphinx. You know, it's crazy. And that's here in Oklahoma. And it's just, it's unfathomable sometimes. Yeah. And then we've been looking at the older structures that were out here. This is cowboy country, you know, this is the Wild West out here. There was nothing out here but Indians and teepees and buffalo, right? Supposedly.
But yeah, people believe it.
But yet, in the early 1800s, they had these huge brick buildings. And then all of the towns were founded. They weren't built. They weren't, you know, they were founded. And I just think there's something to that.
What is that called? Maritime law that has to do with how language is used? Words like founded, and, you know, they say that you really have to look into the actual root language. For example, when we say spelling, it comes from spells. And that's, you know, something fascinating in and of itself. But yeah, and even where I live, I'm in Eastern Pennsylvania, and I've heard stories of pyramids in Western Pennsylvania. I know that there are supposedly some in Ohio and in Georgia for sure. But even where I live, you know, I always talk about how the mountains around where I live, they look like they're mining rubble from giants. They would have to be from something giant because of how high these mountains are. But there is one right at the edge of one of these rows of mountains that certainly looks like a pyramid covered with vegetation. And a few of my children have even said to me, whenever we drive past it, they're like, Mom, that looks like a pyramid underneath all of those trees. And I don't know for sure if it is, but, you know, seeing how for some reason in North America, they cover this stuff up. They don't use it as tourist attractions like they do in other parts of the world. They kind of, you know, just close all of these things off, and they just kind of try to sweep it under the rug. You know, they don't want people to know about it.
Yeah. Or they try to call it, it's a hoax. You know, we have Viking ruins out here in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is in the middle of the continental United States, and we have Viking carvings out here. And how many people know about that? I mean, right. I just wish on the podcast I could get everybody to raise their hands that, you know, has heard of that before, because
I didn't until you told me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I tell people that and they're like, what? And that's exactly, I've lived here all my life. And whenever I learned about it, I was like, what? I mean, we've always had like Bigfoot and things like that, but the architectural stuff, and whenever you drive into the larger towns, even the smaller towns have got some anomalies, even mm-hmm. the smaller towns, but the larger towns in Oklahoma have architecture from almost every period available yes. to see. And yes. I'm sure it is everywhere. Now that we have the internet, now that we can see the videos, the YouTube videos from around the world, it's everywhere. But they've got these excuses of, oh, they decided to build it in this style, and they decided to build it in this style.
And yeah, it's a replica.
Yeah.
It's all replicas.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, really? And then places in like California where it's eroding the cliffside next to the ocean, and they're actually, it's unearthing bricks, stamped bricks, bricks with a stamp from Scotland.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my goodness, seriously. And we toted bricks all the way from Scotland on whatever kind of ship, and then on wagons with horses all the way, you know, it's like that makes all the way to California, right? Yeah. That makes lot of sense.
No. And, you know, not even going as far as overseas, but even if you just look at, you know, you mentioned these photos of these beautiful buildings, but the horse and buggies, these people dressed immaculately, and the mud streets or the dirt roads. And there was actually a builder who made the comment one time and said, wouldn't you think that they would make the streets not dirt and mud in order to haul all of the equipment that they would need to build these massive buildings? It looks like they did things completely backwards. They would have had to haul everything over these dirt roads, and that these buildings, it takes a lot of materials. So not only do you need the manpower, you need some way to get it there in the first place. And then they try to tell you, oh, well, it was the time of steam locomotives. So they laid down railroad tracks to each of the buildings in order to take the supplies. And I'm like, do you have any idea how ludicrous that sounds? That they are going to lay railroad tracks and have them go to each of the areas where they're building. And then what do? They just pick them back up again?
Well,
like Legos?
Yeah, and some of these buildings have like big blocks of marble. I mean, it's not just little bricks. So, you know, if you're not familiar with how horses work and a horse and buggy type thing, you might not think about it. But you can't carry much in a horse-drawn wagon if there's been any amount of rain. Those tires will just sink down in the mud, and it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. What was going to even out those roads for them to even be able to do that? And then replacing the tires. I mean, nowadays, just the semi trucks, and you think of those as really big, but the semi trucks that haul rock for oil locations out here and stuff, their tires have to be changed regularly. There are shredded tires on the side of the road all of the time. Those tires are constantly being worn out, and those are heavy duty tires, you know, not what they had on those wagons at that time. So, I mean, just hauling what we haul today, and my husband's got a backhoe, a little one, just a little backhoe, but still it's, you know, it lifts things that we can't lift without it. And to think the size of those blocks, some of that stuff, the bricks, the cement that they had. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to sit here and say, okay, everything in America was built in the late 1800s, you know,
by people who used horse and buggies and were pretty basic. And, you know, that just, even this whole idea brings to mind the Columbian expedition of 1893. You know, it was 690 acres, and they supposedly built it in 2 years. And even if you believe that the buildings were temporary, which they always try to say, which makes no sense considering that some of the buildings are still standing today. Now, some of the buildings may have been temporary, you know, just to kind of supplement what was already there. I believe there were buildings that were already there, and they maybe tried to fill it out for the fair. But even so, How would they have gotten those materials there? 690 acres in 2 years. On top of that, now this is in Chicago. It was built on what we're told, if we're to believe what the history books say, it was built on swampland. So you talk about mud and if it rained or anything like that, how in the world were they getting these materials there,
there
if it was swampland?
No way. Yeah. No way. Absolutely no way. I pulled up a couple of timelines. And this one architectural timeline has like ancient Greece at 1100 to 146 BC, the Roman Empire from 50 BC to 900 AD. And I'm going to say AD, not the common era or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have the Middle Ages and, you know, the Dark Ages. And that is supposedly the cathedrals and things that we're thinking about. Those are like the very intricate detail way up high, like Notre Dame and these fancy with the colored windows and the pipe organs and
the
all
Gothic.
That.
Yeah.
All that just amazing stuff. And then you have the Renaissance. And then the Baroque period, and then Romanticism, where they were saying that we were reproducing the stuff, you know, had to have an excuse there. And then the modern era, which is junk, right?
Yeah, it is. It's sad. Yeah.
But then you go back and you look at the India timeline from India, and you look at the architecture in the Indian, and of course their timeline is kind of ridiculous, but there are temples that have more detail in them than the cathedrals that were supposedly built in the Middle Ages that are carved out of solid bedrock. I mean, like 3D printed, but it was carved out of solid bedrock. And they've got, you know, just details that you can't even get tools in between to get the kind of detail, 3D details that they've got in those things. It's just ridiculous. It's like,
yeah.
And then supposedly all those huge temples in India had these big tunnels that went from temple to temple, big enough for an elephant to go through. And I'm like, okay, guys, something's not adding up. You're going to say that this is the timeline of Europe, you know, and this is the timeline of America, and this is the timeline of like Australia. But then you're going to throw India in there. And
yeah, it ruins everything, doesn't it? It ruins the whole narrative.
It really does. It's just, well, and then whenever you start looking at South America and then you see some of those amazing cathedrals that supposedly my husband and I have got this kind of funny, the monks built it, you know, the monks went out down there to South America and they built a cathedral, but they didn't just build a cathedral. They built it on the side of a cliff. You know, hanging over a cliff with this bridge, not just a bridge. You know, we think of the Indiana Jones and the rope bridge type thing. No, this isn't just a bridge. This is a huge, intricately detailed, fancy, schmancy bridge, you know, going to this cathedral. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. It's just, and not, this isn't as, now this isn't as intricate as what you just described, but even if you think about the narrative that prisoners built Australia, they're the ones that built, that put all those beautiful buildings in Australia. And then you also have, where is it? The lunatic asylums that we've seen in, even just in the United States, even if you just look there, I've seen a few of the histories of some of those where it says that the people, the, I don't know, would you call them patients? the inmates of the lunatic asylum supposedly helped build the lunatic asylums.
And most and of those like, look like castles. Wow. If you see a picture of that and you don't know where it is, you think it's a castle in Europe.
Yes, it's and like, penitentiaries too. Yeah. Yes.
Yes. It's just, yeah, it's craziness. And then anything, I feel like anything that they just absolutely could not explain away, they covered with a lake.
Yes. There's one of those within 20 minutes of me. It's called Beltsville. And I recently found out that, yes, there was a town under there, too. It's a man-made, well, they call it Beltsville Dam. And there is a town underneath it. Had no idea. I used to go swimming there as a child.
And it just makes you wonder. I would love to go scuba diving. And Oklahoma is called Frontier Lake State. But it has very few natural lakes. They are all, almost all of the lakes in Oklahoma are man-made lakes. And it just, yeah, because, you know, it was just supposed to be Indian territory. A majority of Oklahoma was only supposed to be Indian territory. And yeah, it's like,
There's one, I know for sure there's one in Pepin, Wisconsin, that is also a man-made lake. And I know this because there's supposedly a sea creature that lives in there, which kind of doesn't make sense since if it's a man-made lake, but I still, you know, I enjoy reading about stuff like that. And also Pepin, Wisconsin was mentioned in the Little House book. So I was like, ooh, I want to learn more about this. And I come to find out that yes, there was a town under Lake Pepin too. So, and it's like, why would they do that? And also in New York too, I don't remember what place it's called in New York, but there is also one in New York where I believe that it was a town. It may have been Native Americans. I'm not sure, but there's one there too.
Yeah.
I wish I knew that off the top of my head, the name of it.
I bet they're all over. I mean,
oh, they are.
Yeah. The United States is one big cover up.
And yeah, and that's the question. Why? Why is it okay for all these other nations of the world to have these beautiful ruins? And then when they uncover them, it's in the news and it's something that everyone wants to hear about. Everyone wants to talk about. But every time something is found here, it's hushed up, or the academics won't let people in to explore it. Or it's debunked by the fact checkers, you know, things. Every time. And I'm like, why? Why is it that North America is not supposed to have a history? It clearly does. Anyone with eyes to see can see that North America has a very rich history. Yet for some reason, the powers that be want us to think that it does not.
Well,
that there was nothing here.
Because it doesn't fit into the evolutionary perspective. Because if you had a civilization here already, among the Native Americans, which were supposedly savages. And, you know, all we had over here was brown-skinned savages, you know. Never mind that there's tons of stories of white people, and a lot of the Native Americans were very Black. So, you know, we already had a very diverse type of people out here. But oh no, they've got this narrative that it was a bunch of negative savages out here. Same way with Australia. You know, you can't have anything already there because it was just, you know, the Aborigines that were there. And South America, well, they can make up for, you know, some of those pyramids and stuff. Well, that was older stuff in the Inca Empire. And they still, I feel like they still try to play it down. The road that goes up South America is much bigger and much more of a wow factor than the Roman road. And we were taught about the Roman road and what a great marvel of engineering the Roman road was, you know, in school. But we weren't talk about South America. It's just kind of like a barely mentioned thing. Yeah, well, there was Yeah, there was this road down there, but it's really not important. And it's like, whenever you really start looking into it, it's like the Romans had nothing on those people. It was going all the way from the Empire of California that had a queen, all the way down there. And the Tatarians, even the Russians know that the Tatarians had part of the Western United States, and they claim some of that for themselves as well. So it's like just trying to keep everybody so dumb, because otherwise you can't convince people that they came from monkeys.
I know. And, you know, the evolutionary narrative tells us that, you know, we are improving over time, you know, and our skills are increasing over time. When if you actually look at what happened in South America, and those buildings happened before, if we believe their times, those buildings were before the Greek and the Roman buildings, yet they were so much more intricate, covered so much more area of land. That actually shows the exact opposite of what the evolutionary perspective wants to tell you, because it is a clear illustration of entropy, the degradation of things over time. So I definitely think that you're onto something with that. And it's so frustrating, though, you know, because
it is, because you see the same architecture, like even that, okay, like Sacsayhuaman, the stuff in Peru, I believe is pre-flood. I definitely believe those megalithic fit together. They look like marshmallows were put together and turned into rock. I totally believe those are pre-flood structures. They were built to withstand a cataclysm. Well, mm-hmm. You find that same structural architecture in off of Australia. What is that? I keep forgetting.
New Zealand? Is it New Zealand?
Isn't that terrible? Yes, in New Zealand. And they try to hide it. New Zealand, it's in like Japan. I mean, it's all over the world, that same kind of architecture. And they try, you know, they don't want you making those connections. And it's like, no, there was a pre-flood worldwide civilization that was building these, and they're huge structures. It couldn't have been what we consider normal size people these days.
No.
Could not have done that. And definitely you weren't doing it with levers and pulleys and things like that. They had a technology way beyond us. And I just saw a video of 3D printing houses. They're 3D printing houses. And I'm sure it's some kind of a cement polymer that they're doing or something.
Wow.
But I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, it's happening. And it does put them up quickly and quietly, you know, but you're still not getting, and they're maybe getting close, but you're still not getting to that intricate detail, you know? And I mean, I could see where some of the cathedrals were maybe 3D printed. I mean, that would make sense. You can 3D print a small, you know, a little one. So, and so that makes sense to me. Yes, those were probably 3D printed. In order to put all the pieces together, you would have still had to have had giants to do it. And the huge doorways in all of these, you know, government buildings and everything kind of prove that it was for giants. The Native Americans out here chose not to live in these cities and structures that were already there because of the giants and because of the way they lived. And the Native Americans wanted nothing to do with that. So it was a choice, and that wasn't because they were naked heathens. It's because they were smart, as far as I'm concerned. We got to stay away from those people. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And, you know, not to mention that there are legends all over the world that giants built these giant structures. For in South America, there are legends of that. In Egypt, there are legends that the giants built the pyramids. In
besides Sardinia, carvings and paintings of it, we've got carvings, paintings, yeah. We've got books with images of that.
Yes. Yes.
Until the 1800s. Yeah, yeah, in the 1800s, that's what everybody believed.
Yes.
And myths and fairy tales were not a thing. They were believed to be what they were up until after Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln mentioned the giants in one of his
speeches. Yes, he did. So, yes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the Age of Reason came into play. And all of that was just wiped out. And, you know, that's a whole other topic for another day, why they possibly did that. But really, just looking into the legends of who built these giant structures around the world, it's fascinating. And when you come to realize that these giants were very likely educated, and now you would know this from Gary Wayne's book, right? Genesis 6 conspiracy. Right. These giants are the Nephilim. And at least that's what I believe. And I lost my train of thought. Oh, they would have been educated in what they call the sacred sciences, which are the sciences that are taught in Freemasonry, but they were kind of contaminated over time. And,
but this is the knowledge.
Yeah, they still would have had so much more knowledge than
just
the common.
And this is the knowledge that the Watchers gave to their wives whenever they came down from heaven. Yeah, again, another whole topic that we could go on. The rabbit trail just gets deeper and deeper.
And you just keep finding more and more.
This is one of the really fun things about homeschooling for me, is being able to, you know, as we're learning history as a family and being able to go down these rabbit holes. And because my children have probably taught me to think outside of the box more than anything. It's like, hey, mom, what about this? Because they're believing what their eyes are seeing and what they are observing. And they're just like, you know, innocent and all these things. And I was so programmed.
Yes, me too.
And I've got to totally deprogram in order to see what they see with their own eyes. And it's like, yeah, I've been programmed to not believe what my eyes see.
Yes, in so many different areas too. You know, not just history, not just science, but in health and, you know, who we are as human beings. We're just completely fed all of this. They do it very often through neuro-linguistic programming, but we're given all of these preconceived notions. And then it makes us almost completely unable to see things from a different perspective, because it's like an alarm bell goes off in our head, like, that's not what you were taught. Go back to what you learned in school. And it takes a long time to get over that. And so that's why, you know, sometimes when I start getting frustrated with people that still haven't seen the light, I just remember, okay, I was once there. I was there.
Trying to have patience with those who don't have the eyes to see it is a trial in and of itself.
Yeah, well, I was one of those people that would have said, that's ridiculous. And now I'm like, oh no, it's completely plausible. You know,
I've been known as crazy ever since I was young. So I believe things that everybody else didn't, but still
I was known as flaky by a lot of people in my family. I loved school. And so, of course, I wanted to believe what they told me, but I always had that little bit of kind of rebellion in me, you know, asking questions and being a little flaky. So But that's okay, because that brought me to where I am now.
Yeah, exactly. Makes life a lot more fun, more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, my goodness. Well, definitely pop on over to Shelley's channel, Question the Narrative, on YouTube whenever you have a chance. Make sure to subscribe and share this podcast out to your flaky friends. And if you haven't subscribed to the Prairie Dust Trail magazine, we are going to have all kinds of fun gift guide ideas and maybe some homemade gifts and crafts ideas for the holidays this year. The fall magazine will be coming out in the end of October to give you plenty of time to get ready for the holidays. So, and just pop over to prairiedusttrail.com to subscribe. So, I think we will just let it go at that. And I'm so excited to get lots of discussion going on here.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for asking me to be a co-host. I'm excited about it.
I am too. All right. And remember, you can weather the dust storms of life with God's divine help.